We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And welcome back to Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com. Thank you all for joining us here on the program. And if you haven't done so, please go ahead and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you can rate and review, please do rate and review 5 stars on the episodes and review the show. We'd love to go and get that feedback from you. And the Blunt Business Program is also presented by the Buzz CRM. It's powered by the Buzz CRM. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady, something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we are excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of Buzz CRM. The Buzz CRM, which is built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again, because you deserve a lifeline. After all those outdated platforms, you deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your successes. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Go now to thebuzzcrm.com, thebuzzcrm.com today. Make sure Blunt Business told you to go visit and go sign up right now. Now, my next guest, very familiar to the program, and a passionate innovator, product developer, over a decade of experience across both alcohol and cannabis industries, director, head of cannabis at the Boston Beer Company, leading the company's Canadian cannabis division. Once again, we welcome back Paul Weaver, back to Blunt Business. Welcome back.
Jorge, it's great seeing you again. I hope you had a great dry January, and you're off to a good start this year.
Yeah, good start. And still amazing about some of the new terms we're hearing now, especially with dry January, Cali Sober, because it is becoming a trend so much. And there's so many more stories to talk about the fact that, I mean, you're seeing a generational gap or the divide in what younger audiences or younger consumers are actually going after versus, you know, traditional people like more like my age or yours, and what they're deciding to go ahead and imbibe on, or kind of take a mix of both. Now, Boston Beer Company, we always know that you have various products that are still being put out in the market. We talked about the tea line last time, Teapot, back in June of last year. Make sure to listen to that episode if you want to go ahead and catch up on things. But now the long history of crafting long beloved beverages like Twisted Tea and Sam Adams, you now have Emerald Hour. And just to give a quick rundown of what was said about this, it's a line of non-alcoholic Cali sober cannabis cocktails. It's premium rosin infused beverages representing the height of the cannabis beverage experience, and available now for retailers in Ontario and Canada in that province. So you're blending fresh frozen cannabis extracts with regionally sourced cocktail ingredients, a full spectrum beverage experience, 10 milligrams of THC made without the use of chemical solvents, and two flavors available right now, cranberry citrus. So it's real lime cranberry juice, a modern take on the Metropolitan Classic, and ginger lime, made with specifically selected ginger extracts, a spicy mule without the alcohol. So really very tasty sounding products here. And off the bat, you know, the company always kind of building itself and crafting out outside of the space of alcohol and continue to expand and expand the line of different beverages in the non-alcoholic space. So what was it about this brick here? Any challenges that you might have had, this rollout here, the strategy behind it? Take us behind what you did here with Emerald Hour.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think launch of our new cannabis cocktail line, Emerald Hour, really highlights the growing and continued desire for new alternatives to alcohol. You know, you started your question with kind of alluding to generational shifts. The survey is a couple years old. It's like a 2022 survey, but, you know, 69% of people in America between the age of 18 to 24 prefer marijuana to alcohol. And that is a continued evolution of consumers' relationship with alcohol. So for innovative craft brewers like Boston Beer Company, we've got to stay in front of that trend. Teapot was designed to be a great tasting, low dose, non-carbonated iced tea, easy to bring into a summer beverage occasion. But what we've designed with Emerald Hour is a 10 milligram, highly concentrated, full spectrum, solventless cannabis edible experience that really is just a fantastic edible for an experienced cannabis consumer. Juxtaposing a more introductory product like Teapot. So Emerald Hour cannabis cocktails, we like to say, are for successful stoners.
Right.
And it is non-alcoholic. It is low calorie. It is fast onset. It is full spectrum live rosin input. We also use cannabis diamonds in the inputs. And they're familiar cocktail styles. We've got a Cosmo and a Mule today. Today we launched our Mojito. So we have a Mojito that's coming out. And then this summer we're launching a Margarita. So, you know, taking those familiar classics, removing the alcohol, replacing it with a premium cannabis input, and giving the newest generation of legal drinkers something new to try that's an alternative to alcohol. It's a very exciting time for the cannabis beverage category as we get better and better at this.
So Emerald Hour is going to have a Mojito and a Margarita mix.
Yeah.
Wow.
The Mojito is fantastic. It was really hard to make because mint,
I bet,
you know, beverage is always kind of a tricky experience, but our Mojito is fantastic. I'm very pumped for our Mojito.
And you've seen quite a thing where you put it into a can and how that experience. The other thing too is, what was it about putting it in cans versus bottles? Anything you can tell me about, you know, where, what you're taking it from, anything about presentation that you make recommendations to people when they try it?
Well, I mean, there's a mix of art and science here, right? The science of a cannabis beverage, the science of most edible products, is all about protecting the THC in the product and creating a safe and shelf-stable food product. Cans are a perfect vessel for that. They're airtight. No light gets in. There's special liners on them that protect the liquid inside. So there's a reason why you don't see a lot of bottled cannabis drinks. They're just a little bit too prohibitive with infusing with THC. But cans are a much more appropriate vessel. And then how you kind of dress up that canned beverage experience is the art, and how you try and do something that's elevated, premium, but not but also compliant, because the regulations on packaging vary in countries and different states. And so you got to find some common denominator to bring it together. So we do a lot of product photography out of the can in glasses in the right type of setting that both illustrates what we're trying to achieve, but putting a mule in, you know, the copper mug or a Cosmo in, you know, beautiful stemmed glass. Plus, it just looks a lot better than a regulated cannabis edible product. So we use cans for product development purposes and to ensure the product is safe and stable on the shelf. And then we market it as best we can within that context.
Yeah, no, and I love the setup of the cans. Also, the attention to detail when it comes to the cans, what you set up with Teapot was definitely a real lively kind of setup for the cans with the stripes and all, and the way you have the Teapot logo set up. Emerald Hour, much different feel to it, where it feels very much refined, very classy, very like, you know, when you see that, I mean, I can only see, like, if you go to a bar, just having anybody has a setup with a wet bar and you see them cracking open a can of Emerald Hour, like, you're really kind of paying attention to it. And then just what you're getting out of it looks good. Now, the one thing is you're only getting this in Canada at the moment, which is very interesting. So only in the Ontario province of Canada. And what I don't know is, you know, when you're putting in the new markets, obviously you're in Canada yourself, or for the Canadian Cannabis Division, you operate there for Boston Beer. What was it about setting up from Ontario just to get it as a starter market and then looking to what regulatory hurdles might be coming up to bring it to U.S. consumers? We'll talk about that after the break in a much larger sense, but what you're looking to go and do where you will be rolling this out farther into other markets.
Yeah, I mean, think of it in a, it's a great question, and one that kind of speaks to our patience in brand building, our patience in product development, and allowing great ideas to breathe and find stable footing. So if we think of it kind of a crawl, walk, run kind of evolution, you know, our R&D department is based, our cannabis R&D department is based in Ontario.
Okay.
That's just where the talent is in Canada, and the Canadian market is unequivocally legal with respect to cannabis from a federally regulated perspective. So it's just a nice, easy approach for us to do unconstrained cannabis R&D here in Ontario. It's also probably the most challenging markets to get new products on shelf. So if you can build your product and get it in an Ontario dispensary, you've gotten over a major set of hurdles in terms of product development and interest from retailers and government buyers. So Ontario is like, if you can get your product, and this is kind of a lesson for anyone launching a product in Canada, if you can get your product listed by the Ontario government, you probably have something worthy of expansion. Now that it's in these dispensaries, we're learning, we're refining, we're building, and then we'll be expanding Emerald Hour throughout the year into other provinces now that we have this stable footing here in Ontario. But that's the crawl than the walk. The run, which is why we're doing this, which is to inevitably launch these products in the United States, there's just a lot of roads that are still being paved with respect to the new administration, whether that's the future of rescheduling in marijuana and federally regulated marijuana-derived products, or the other road, which is the hemp road and how hemp-derived products will get regulated for the next 5 years. So, you know, we're patient brand builders. We've got something special already with Teapot that is developed in Ontario first, expanded nationwide, and is now ready for showtime in America. And then what we're currently building with Emerald Hour, in theory, would follow the same steps. Let's get it on shelves in Ontario here. Let's learn. Let's expand that nationally. Get some credibility. Tighten it up, and then make another option for a future U.S. market entry. That's the kind of cycle that we do here in our cannabis R&D department.
And like you said, when it comes to regulatory challenges and hurdles, Canada already gives you a pretty high barrier to get an entry compared to what the United States has. And last couple of weeks on their Blum business, we've talked about compliance quite a bit. And also just the various levels you could have with a GMP or even just SOC 1 or SOC 2 compliance. And all these other issues of compliance I didn't even know there was about. We're just getting more and more understanding and just much more research and much more exploratory about learning about all these things. So like, just imagine what you're going to do to make sure that you get it to, and again, like I said, Ontario government, they give you this stamp. Okay, here we go. Push it out there. Plus, you know, we got to talk about when it comes to the THC drinks that are in the market coming up for America, that there's still not a set regulatory system in place. It's so all over the place. And Bloomberg Businessweek actually featured that in an article a couple weeks ago. We're going to go and talk about that among things when it comes to THC-infused products and the market itself. But more importantly, we also talk about the fact of the reason for the strategic growth by Boston Beer to continue to go forward with cannabis beverages is because the market is changing. It's a complete change, and we see the sea change now. And there's some stats I'm going to bring behind you to support the idea as to why you're seeing more people swing away from alcohol while going more towards cannabis-infused beverages. We're going to talk more with Paul Weaver, head of cannabis at Boston Beer Company, here on Blunt Business. And if you want to go take a look at the Emerald Hour Cannabis line, go ahead and go to the website, emeraldhourcannabis.com, emeraldhourcannabis.com. And you can also find them on Instagram for that as well, at Drink Emerald Hour. And in the meantime, we'll go ahead and go back to commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Paul Weaver after this. Welcome back to Blunt Business. I'm here.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For Paul Weaver, head of cannabis at Boston Beer Company. We've been talking about their newest product of cannabis-infused beverages, specifically Emerald Hour, a non-alcoholic line of Cali Sober Cannabis Cocktails. Some great products into that. But I want to go ahead and expand now into a recent article from Bloomberg Businessweek. So they talk about the fact of, and I'm trying to go and pull up the article real quick for everyone, cannabis cocktails are growing quickly, but the law might stop that soon. So in America, because compared to Ontario, Canada, there's a lot of issues where we're having things going on with the regulatory system, because it's not all set in place when it comes to hemp-related products for THC or just for cannabis itself. It's all various in various markets. Now, an article from Just Drinks, which they referred to, said about Boston Beer Company's persistence in the cannabis beverage space signals confidence in its potential. And that there are, again, we've talked about many major beverage brands that have hesitated to fully commit to THC-infused products. Obviously, a lot of major companies have tried to go in. But I want to just put some stats out there to talk about the bullishness as to why Boston Beer Company sees the long-term growth of cannabis-infused beverages. A couple of stats I want to just bring up real quick here. And Gallup recently put out, the most recent Gallup study says that alcohol consumption among young adults has declined over the past two decades. It's now down 10% from two decades prior. Middle-aged adults, 35 to 54, is stable, but 69% reporting alcohol use. And then 55 and above, it's still a bit of more of an alcohol. But the thing is, the younger market is toward targeting more of consumption of cannabis-infused beverages is much more prevalent among younger individuals. And it's a promotional generational shift. Younger individuals showing a preference for cannabis-infused beverages. And your stories all across the board. The Times of the UK is talking about almost half of young people no longer drink alcohol. Time Magazine puts out why Generation Z is drinking less. And Reuters, breaking the glass ceiling, cannabis firms rethink strategy as young women lead the cannabis use. And obviously, they're going by edibles and beverages. So talk to me about what you're seeing in the stats and what is the justification for going along this bullish long-term growth strategy.
I mean, no, Jorge, I mean, you've been...
Is there anything I got left out of place there?
No, you've been doing this a while. I've been doing this a while. Like, yeah. if you're a passionate cannabis advocate, this is just, you know, well, of course, like cannabis is an incredible option for those looking to curtail their alcohol consumption, and new generations of drinkers are having legal access to these products and finding their own balance between what's their relaxation product of choice. Like, this is just the manifestation of access to this new alternative. So it's in many ways for people who are very knowledgeable about the cannabis category or evangelical about the benefits of the plant, like, this is great news.
Right.
For alcohol companies, for example, Boston Beer Company, these are ominous signals and things that we have to be mindful of. So it's not just the righteous path in terms of embracing this new exciting world of cannabis, but also smart business to just hedge your bets and have options for both sides, whether you continue on with being a passionate beer drinker or you're intrigued, you're excited by cannabis beverages. So I think, you know, we pride ourselves in being one of the most innovative beverage companies in the world, and we're not shying away from the realities of this next generation. So I think it's just, you know, companies like us, which are, we're not so big that we can just turn a blind eye to it. We're big, but we're not global behemoth of alcohol sales. We're a big brewer in America, and our ability to kind of get in front of this trend, increase our market share for this new opportunity, but do so in a way that's authentic to us, authentic to our values, understands the uniqueness of cannabis culture, and merges those two. The world of cannabis culture meets the world of craft beer. And I think Boston Beer is pulling those two worlds together beautifully.
I want to ask a question. When it comes to Emerald Hour, I wanted to fall back on something, because really something I was thinking about in mind is that there's so often that with Boston Beer, when you've done Sam Adams, there are certain times of year you have seasonal products.
Yeah.
So when you've done for summer, spring, you have, you know, lighter beer fare than it is something more the conventional. I was wondering with Emerald Hour, when you have the mojitos and margaritas, if that's something you thought about that would be more of a seasonal as opposed to a year round.
Well, certainly in terms of the ebbs and flows of how much we sell.
Right.
Part of it also is just like, well, what do we have on our hands here? Like, what's home base for a brand like this? So, for example, Emerald Hour has a Cosmo and a Moscow Mule that launched in dry January of this year.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now we're adding a mojito for the spring and a margarita for the summer. Now, that's logical in terms of like,
oh yeah,
summertime vibes, and let's celebrate the end of winter with some summertime beverages. We're going to continue selling all four of those flavors, though, throughout winter 2025 and into next year. And we'll find the kind of ebb and flow in terms of those product formats. And then, yeah, like, what's next for us in terms of cocktails? Do we want to do a seasonal winter cocktail or another summer cocktail? Do we get into that rhythm? How many can we sustain in terms of our portfolio, in terms of home base? Like, Sam Adams, our flagship, is tremendously successful in leveraging seasonal tap handles. So your tap handle at Applebee's might say summer ale, and then before you even know it, click, it's winter, it's Cold Snap, our winter beer. And they know how to work with retailers, how to work with their wholesalers to get into that type of cadence and that type of rhythm. And it just speaks to the maturity, the maturing nature of our cannabis beverage category, that we can start to think about those types of things. Now we've got the nice stable brand, a nice stable footing. We can start to work with retailers on how we toggle in and out based on more seasonally relevant options.
Now, one of the other areas that the article from Bloomberg Business Week also mentioned about, that cannabis beverages right now are offering a controlled and consistent alternative to alcohol. So being mindful for consumers. And the one thing we always notice when you look for events, if you don't have the gun go through in some of a more of a healthier aspect of, you don't need to go and consume so much to get the desired effect that you want from the drinks that you have. Where if you feel like you're just going after and just throwing out calorie after calorie of every bottle of whatever else you're drinking, that you're just trying to get to the desired effect. If you're taking one of a cannabis infused beverage, it doesn't take so much to get to that point of entry and to get yourself the kind of buzz, the kind of feel that you want to have right there. And that it kind of just works out where you know, you can, I still think you can find a way where it's very profitable and you can still have it where people are going to really enjoy it. And they don't feel like, well, if they can hold on to the drink, it's not going to go and go to what they can kind of, or they can kind of sit on it, enjoy it and go through less of it, but still gets that significant, wonderful feeling of what you want to have from that drink.
Well, I mean, everyone's tolerance is unique to them themselves, right? So I think, you know, it's a relative tolerance. It's a relative moving scale. And like, it's a meet what's not everyone consumes alcohol to get drunk. Not everyone consumes cannabis to get stoned. There's moderation and some level of kind of where you want to be. So your point of like, until you get to that point of where you're happy. You know, one of the cool things about cannabis beverages versus edibles is the faster onset time. So your ability to kind of clock in, am I riding where I want to be, is a little bit more possible with beverages versus edibles, where you kind of have to guess where you'll be in an hour and see if you timed it right. But, you know, I think the reality is like these products, and although that we've been making them, me and the other peers in the space, these products have been around really for the last, let's say, 6 years, maybe. I think that's about maybe six, right? Maybe seven. No, I would say six. So we've been making these products for about 6 years now across various companies. And now we kind of have a handle on how we coexist with alcohol in a day-to-day setting. You know, like what is, you know, an evening round of cannabis beverages look like that leads to a satisfactory experience and a pleasant morning. And so, yeah, I mean, I think part of it is just finding your own relative tolerance through trial and error and being confident that the milligrams that are on the can and starting low and going slow, you're going to be able to dial that in relative to you.
Now, I also want to make the point of that in the article as well, they're going to make a mention of this, where the retail promise is built on generational change in attitudes towards booze consumption. It comes down to growing scientific consensus that alcohol is bad for you. Because the idea is, you know, how much are you going to go and keep going at your liver to try to expect your liver to kind of go and just absorb all the liquid that you're going through and trying to go and help, you know, if you're not putting in so much into yourself and the imbibing is not so severe because of what you're trying to get to, that the idea that cannabis's image has changed, being effectively rebranded as medicine by the wellness community, according to this article, and that there's trends explaining the popularity of voluntary periods of sobriety, dry January, sober October, and the rise of non-alcoholic beers, fancy alcohol fizzy concoctions, and booming seltzer sales. And you also make mention of a study from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration survey. Almost 50% of Americans aged 18 to 25 imbibed alcohol in the previous month, down 61.4% 20 years ago. And that 14.5% of young people saw serious risks involved with smoking cannabis once or twice a week. 40% almost single with five more drinks. It's just a healthier alternative. And people just realize you don't have to go through so much. It's to not get carried away. And also where people can actually have a point of feeling that there's a time they can actually be sober, they can also fall on the trends of like, okay, let's take a little break. I think this kind of thinking, this kind of culture change is very good altogether. And it's something I think that what you're doing with Emerald Hour and other products like Teapot, you're, you know, setting a trend that the younger generations are going to just realize, okay, we don't need to be like what was before and feel like we need to just keep hammering bottles in because there's a kind of a desired effect, and we don't have to go and have it all the time.
I mean, one thing that, to be clear, like, we're not a pharmaceutical company or a medical marijuana company. You know, we're beer makers and an alcohol company and now a cannabis company. And for us, you know, we're about making refreshing moderation options for for people to relax to, you know, like we're a beer company at our core. And so our products are intended for lifestyle use, for recreational use, not for any sort of medicinal use. Right. And this notion that there is consequence-free consumption for cannabis, I think for those that have consumed too much cannabis know that that's not the case. Like there is still a, you know, if you have too many cans of cannabis beverages, then your morning is going to be a bit groggy. And maybe it's not as bad as an alcohol hangover, but there is still consequences to overconsumption. So this idea of a new alternative to alcohol that gives you a relaxing effect with, you know, different outcomes in terms of the next morning. It's an exciting time. And I think everyone has that's interested in these types of products, that there's a lot of options out there to try. Start low, go slow, but do be mindful that, like, there is still a limit, and you have to, you know, just be mindful of your own consumption patterns, both in the evening of and in the morning after.
Right.
But it's a very exciting time. It's a time of change, right? I mean, this is the next generation's relationship with both cannabis and alcohol will be night and day to the one that I grew up with, and going to Arizona State University and in the frat parties at ASU, right? So I think it's just a different time, and it's a very exciting time. I'm very excited for the products that we're creating to kind of be a part of this new future. But it's, you know, it's being written right in front of us.
And that's the thing I'm looking at for the most part, is that that's what's the more the bigger change, because we already talked about the fact that, okay, we're going to see eventually maybe we'll see cannabis beverages on the same shelves as alcohol, but it's obvious we can see the trend right now. Just like you said, in the last 6 years, as your team has been actually putting out products, that we're seeing more of the younger generations. They're going to go along, and they're not going to go to, you know, the normal bar mystique like before, or go to concerts and expect the same kind of beverages they had before, because they're turning away from it. Maybe they just feel more responsible. They just feel like it's just more of a change. But that happens with generational changes. So to see this isn't so much surprising, but as much as it is, I think just people are just kind of being more cognizant, more responsible for their bodies. And I think that's going to be an ongoing trend of a lot of different things when we look at people's health choices, and where some of the glut of certain products, I mean, obviously when we change right now in the what's Washington, D.C., and the changes going on over there, there's some plans over there within the health industry now about, you know, who's controlling what and what kind of products are going to be put into other products now to try to go and help people get much more healthier, to kind of go along with the barrier of where everybody else is in the world that might be much healthier than the United States of America itself. So cannabis-infused beverages in that same realm looks as a healthier alternative in a lot of different ways. And that's the point I'm trying to make, is the fact that the young people are already following along with that. And that is, I would imagine, you one of your biggest consumer bases, and you want to make sure that you hold on to that base for as long as you want, because they are the ones that are going outgoing the most. They're going to go out and enjoy, and you just got to get the products to them. So now the next part is the regulatory hurdle. So in America, obviously we know that if you look at the regulations state by state, you got to be a Rhodes Scholar to know what the regulatory things are. And even the lawyers I talk about on this program about that, they got to know so much and understand so much, even insurance, so much you got to understand of which markets can do, what you're allowed to do, what kind of standards they need to be, which is great again, because in Canada, you already have a set high barrier of regulatory hurdles you have to reach. So you're going to reach that in every market in America, but it's still got to figure out where you can put it in America, because the patchwork of regulations, they say here, has limited market expansion. So talking about the barriers that you face right now when you are looking to go ahead and expand into America with products like Emerald Hour, and, you know, what you've already done with so far with Teapot or other products you've already done, talking about that part in terms of the ongoing rollout of the product to America and how much work it is to get it done.
Well, certainly some of the most knowledgeable people in cannabis are lawyers. Our cannabis lawyers are some of the toughest people on the planet. So when you meet someone who's been in cannabis law for multiple years, they've seen some shit. They know what they're talking about. But, you know, it's funny. You talk about, like, the fragmented nature of state marijuana and cannabis laws. So too is alcohol. Like alcohol, there is a centralized framework for alcohol in America in terms of some of the basics, but in terms of product in particular, but the route to market, the marketing laws, the labeling requirements, the trade practices are all fragmented state by state. You know, try buying a beer in Utah versus a beer in California versus a beer in Pennsylvania. Very different routes to market, very different consumer experiences. So it's very American, actually, to imagine an end game for cannabis that has 50 different pathways, 50 different sets of laws, and a very engaged and well-informed legal team that knows how to navigate those laws. The difference between Canada and America, though, is in Canada, where we have, again, 10 provinces and 10 different routes of market with 10 different means of getting it there. But at the core, there's a central product standard. So how the product is made and how it's labeled and the ability to centralize production and ship across provincial lines,
right,
is it facilitates the scale needed to justify your investment in equipment, justify some of your bigger marketing investments. Like if you and I were trying to start a cannabis beverage business in Vermont,
right,
or Rhode Island, you know, like some of the, yeah, like you have enough humans to buy your product to justify the infrastructure that you have to invest behind, you really need to have interstate commerce. Interstate commerce, which is an end game for both hemp and marijuana, that facilitates scale. Scale is one of the long-term solutions to the fledgling cannabis industry, whether that's drinks or flower. And the ability to ship across state lines is the solution. So how do you facilitate that? Hemp, which is very popular right now for cannabis drinks, is a federally legal product under the Farm Bill, which is why you're able to produce and ship across state lines at tremendous scale. Marijuana is not. And so, you know, scale is a big catalyst for a more stable, sustainable industry for marijuana proper. But once we get that ability to ship across state lines, we should still expect and embrace 50 different regulatory hurdles and stakeholders and rings to kiss and retailers to sell through and taxes to pay, because that's exactly what happened with alcohol. So it's kind of embracing the fragmented nature of the United States of America with the understanding that you still have to be able to trade across those states.
I want to go ahead and follow along and take you some more final questions real quickly with Paul Weaver, head of cannabis at Boston Beer Company, your own blunt business. And we'll go and do that after a short break. But again, take a look at what we're talking about. We'll go ahead and focus back on Emerald Hour and let people know about their new line of non-alcoholic cannabis cocktails infused with live rosin and cannabis diamonds. EmeraldHourCannabis.com. That's the website. Take a look at that, and we'll be back after a short break. Back with final questions with Paul Weaver, head of cannabis at Boston Beer Company here in Blunt Business. So last June when I spoke with you, Paul, I referenced a story from Cannabis Business Times that while daily cannabis consumption now outpaces daily consumption of cannabis or alcoholic beverages in the U.S., cannabis beverages continue to comprise a small percentage of the overall market. But still, the growth is amazing. It's still from the next 10 years, going back to 2023 to 2033, projection is that the industry will grow from $1.7 billion from 2023 to $28.6 billion by 2033, compound growth of 32.6%. That's still huge. And in a couple of years, do you see, you know, where in the direction that you're doing right now with products like MR Hour, Teapot, and whatever other cannabis products that Boston Beer Company decides to go and roll out, what do you see the landscape of consumers and what they're buying? Because obviously that younger audience is going to be much more middle age and with a lot more income to go and work off of. And what will the stores look like at that point? Will you see where, I mean, regardless of what happens with legalization, we don't talk about that because that's years down the line. Come on. What do you see where we can see that where your products will be built to be sold at some point? What do you see at that down the line in that growth that continues to go along? What's going to change in the next few years that you expect to have happen where you'll see your products on which shelves?
I find that when I talk about the future of the category, not specific to brands, my audience has one of two sets of understanding. Either they got a soundbite from 3 years ago, 4 years ago, about the relatively small size of cannabis beverages in dispensaries. And that always leads with 1% to 2% of legal cannabis sales and what will it take to get it beyond that. We're still growing that category in dispensaries. It's one of the few growth categories in the dispensary channel that continues to get commoditized and squeezed out by the illicit market. Cannabis drinks have a role in dispensaries. But that role, as people go in there fast and quick and dirty, and they're there to buy flower and get out, and the environment is not necessarily the most conducive to drinks. Like maybe they don't even have a fridge. Maybe they don't even have the storage in back. The growth and kind of just baseline numbers of cannabis drinks in dispensaries continues to kind of bubble into that single digit percentage.
That's the question I was going to, I think,
well,
maybe,
but,
if,
but,
forgive me if I asked this before, but at some point, do you see where the dispensaries or just whatever other stores are able to go and sell products, do we get more of a bodega type atmosphere where you're in a corner store and you see a bank of fridges with different products alongside whatever else is being done? Do you think that's going to be something that we'll eventually see brought into the space soon enough where the dispensaries are at least going to start realizing, you know what, we need to go ahead and market our stores. We need to set aside an area that's a refrigerated section, not just even for the drinks, but also for the edibles.
So, okay, this is that first conversation, right?
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, okay, I'm talking to someone who knows the marijuana industry. They know dispensaries. What will it take for a dispensary chain to invest in infrastructure to have a cold room or wide fridges or the staff and back braces and dollies to move drinks around? And it's always comes into that same beating your head against the wall conversation. Now let's have that second conversation. Selling cannabis drinks in liquor stores.
Yeah.
When you sell a cannabis beverage in a liquor store through beverage infrastructure, meaning they have the trucks, they have the backroom storage, they've got the dollies, they have the shelves, they've got the fridges, they have the buyers that are there with the, they emptied out the back of their CRVs. They could go buy a 2-4 of Twisted Tea and a 6-pack of Teapot. And that model in states that are embracing hemp-derived THC drinks is way bigger and is proving empirically way bigger. In some markets like Minnesota, where they've really started and pioneered selling cannabis drinks in liquor stores, it is nearly as big as the entire craft beer segment and bigger than the hard seltzer segment. So what you're seeing is two roads for the future of cannabis beverages. Selling them in dispensaries and trying to compete against flower consumers and pre-roll consumers and vape consumers. Like, it's pretty easy and space conscious to store 1,000 brands of pre-rolls. Right. It's not as easy to store 1,000 brands of cannabis drinks.
But now
the second road, which is the liquor store, where they are built for this. And when you put cannabis drinks in that ecosystem, they're flying, man. They are flying off the shelf. And I think that's what's really exciting. The people who are paying attention to this category, all their excitement right now is about the future of selling it in a liquor store where they can actually be in the periphery of a beverage buyer and work with retailers and wholesalers and infrastructure that works with drinks, heavy, cumbersome drinks.
So I want to ask this now, because we've seen in many other areas when it comes to beverages where, like, say, Coke or Pepsi or Red Bull or Monster or whatever else, these energy drinks will supply the refrigeration. They'll supply the fridges for them that'll be packed with their product. Is that something that would be a possibility for a company like a Boston Beer to go into that and say, well, we're going to just supply you, just give us the space, we'll go ahead and set it up for you. You don't have to worry about the refrigerator. We'll go and get it out for you, and we'll also go ahead and take care of, you know, getting the machines ready so that you got what you need of product.
You mean in dispensaries?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we do within the rules of every province, every state, every cannabis jurisdiction has trade laws in which you can and cannot do that type of stuff, right? This is now where it's kind of a legal conversation. We'll just assume that through some arrangement, we can help with some of those marketing tools, like a branded fridge, yeah, something like that. Yeah, absolutely. Do they have the staff in the back to house it? How much space are they dedicating to it? But regardless, is the patron of that dispensary walking in and prepared to buy beverages? And that's where, if you have a dispensary that's selling vapes and flower and pre-rolls and maybe some gummies, they are giving you some fridge space for drinks, but it's a pretty small section of their store because they're still there to satisfy the current cannabis consumer, which is there to buy inhalable products predominantly. So yes, in dispensaries, part of the way in which we move the needle, part of the way in which we increase adoption of the category is really, really effective trade marketing. That's what we call that, trade marketing.
Right.
And it's the same thing we do in liquor stores. You know, like the same thing we do with bars and restaurants. So it's old hat for us to be able to bring our brand and help enhance their store while giving us a little bit of branding love. But we can only do so much with the store. Are we changing the shopper behavior and the people walking into those stores? And that's where we found just much better opportunity in the existing beverage buying ecosystem. And then a slow but growing dispensary model.
Fantastic. Yeah, what a interesting subject when it comes to the beverages and just what you're able to go and do. But again, it's just more doors, more leverage has got to get opened up so that this can be possible. Because the market demand's out there. The younger audience, we make the point, there are more younger people that are out there, you know, again, 20s, 30s, college age, coming in the day, in their career field, whatever they're doing, and they're not going for alcohol anymore. It's going to be less and less.
Well, it's not just the next generation, not just this next generation.
Yes.
It's also like middle-aged and older drinkers that maybe had a heavy stigma against cannabis. And now it's these products. Like one of the things I love about focusing on cannabis beverages is destigmatizing the category. Like bringing a cannabis beverage to a cocktail party or a family barbecue is the easiest way to have a cannabis conversation with someone who is curious but maybe a little bit intimidated by marijuana. And cannabis drinks are a perfect tool to have that conversation, normalize cannabis consumption, maybe help prevent inhalation a little bit and dial you away from smoking products. So it's not just about addressing this current this new drinker trend. There's a lot of older drinkers out there that have never been high in their life. I've always been curious, and a cannabis drink is the perfect onboarding for them to discover their own relationship with cannabis.
Oh, and I didn't mean to go ahead and bring it down to that, but again, when you talk about, think about dry January, that's becoming a very big trendy thing that already just happened this past month as we're recording, but also the incorporation of the Cali Sober lifestyle. For people that are drinking THC-infused drinks in lieu of alcohol, that's becoming a thing. It's not just California anymore. That's a trend that occurs across a very large female demographic that you have to look at as well, that they prefer to go and go for something that's more THC-infused than go for something that's wine or alcohol-based, or beer or wine-based. That is becoming more of a thing as well. So, and it's a big thing that's starting to become much more popular than ever. So people just need to go and embrace the fact that's happening. And I love what your team is doing right now to hedge the bet and go ahead and bring out trend-setting cocktails like you have right now with Emerald Hour. Emerald Hour, again, happy hour elevated, non-alcoholic cannabis cocktails infused with live rosin, cannabis diamonds. You have two products right now already in the market. With future, you have mojitos. Margarita is going to be coming up as well. But right now, you have cranberry citrus. And you have, I'm trying to go back in and find it again. The other flavor is ginger lime. So you got the classic Cosmo, the Moscow Mule already set up. And for those that want to go and learn more about how they can get their hands on Emerald Hour, obviously, tell me real quickly about what they can do to expect of the rollout of being able to get their hands on Emerald Hour themselves.
Yeah, we're up and running now. We're in about 250 dispensaries here in Ontario and growing. So no, that's not true. We're almost at 300 now. So we're about 300 dispensaries in Ontario and growing. The new flavor is going to add some more stores to that. So most of the local dispensaries in your market, if you're living in Ontario, can find it. But go to our website, drinkemeraldhour.com, and you can track down where it is in Ontario. And follow us on our Instagram account to see when we might be expanding into your market, whether that's in Canada or in the United States.
Fantastic. Paul Weaver, as always, always glad to have you on and talking about beverages and on. Every time you come back on, it's always a new product. And obviously, any other new products come across, let us know. And let's go ahead and revisit once again.
That's a big great. Thank you for having me.
All right. There we go. Paul Weaver, head of cannabis at Boston Beer Company here on Blunt Business. Thank you all for listening to the program. We'll talk to you next time. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.